This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero,
the Wizards,
Van Pugh.
Are still trash. And you know this man?
Damn!
I don't know how I keep watching this train wreck. For real. I get my hopes up thinking they're going to end this losing streak, which, by the way, is 16 games now.
Come on, man.
Then it all falls apart. It all falls down like Kanye West. And I'm just like, man, you gotta be kidding. How? How do we keep enduring this? I know I probably should just let it go, but I just can't. I can't stop watching this train wreck. What is wrong with me? The draft is still, I don't know, 2 months away, 3 months away. The draft is still 3 months away, and I'm still watching this. Because I don't know who we're going to get in the draft. I have no clue who we're going to draft. We're definitely going to get a high lottery pick. That is for certain. It should be number one. But with their lottery odds lately, it's probably not going to be a number one pick. But here's hoping we get the number one pick, and this number one pick turns out to be the next Gilbert Arenas, John Wall, Bradley Beal. Hopefully. It's wishful thinking, I know. But I wish the best for my Wizards. This is suffering. I mean, come on, man. Since the last time I recorded the show, we lost to the Lakers. In overtime, all we had to do was grab a rebound and we would have closed them out. Look, this is LeBron, AD, they all playing. LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, our friend Rui Hachimura, they were all playing. And yet we had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and yet we couldn't close it out.
Come on, man.
Another victim to Austin Reeves' hero ball, to Austin Reeves being him. You know how I feel about Austin Reeves. He is like that. When the Lakers got him, I knew they got a steal. I think they got him in the second round. Maybe he was undrafted. I think he was undrafted. I knew it was a steal because I knew that he can play. I knew that he had the right mindset. He had the right mentality. So I knew he was going to be like that. And the Wizards fell victim to him being clutch. I mean, of course. And, of course, LeBron hit some key shots. And also, the thing that stuck out to me was LeBron defending Jordan Poole on the last possession. Because he hadn't guarded Jordan Poole the whole game. On the last possession, tied up, I think it was 105-105 or something like that. And the Wizards got the ball seconds ago with a chance to walk off in L.A. in front of all those celebrities against LeBron. And AD, LeBron took the task of guarding Jordan Poole, which, if you look at Jordan Poole this season, it's just laughable that we're at this point. But I'm about to get back to that very soon. But LeBron decided to guard Jordan Poole because he knew he was taking the last shot. And sure enough, Jordan Poole, you know, he got him with one move. He got past. He looked like he was getting past LeBron. LeBron was kind of lost. He stepped back, let LeBron recover. LeBron contested the shot, and Jordan Poole missed, of course. And then we fell short in overtime. Just couldn't make the right shots. Couldn't get a rebound when we needed to. And it's just, every time this team do good, still falls short. I mean, come on. Then lose to the Clippers. I don't know. The Clippers are a bad matchup for this team. The current iteration of the Clippers is just a horrible matchup for the Wizards, and neither game was close. Big deal. Whatever. Because we're on this little West Coast road trip, I guess. I was like, okay, we can beat Utah. They not as good as L.A., either of the L.A. teams. We could be Utah. And sure enough, we jumped on them. And Jordan Poole because he come off the bench now. It turns out to be the best thing ever because it woke him up. And now he averages, I don't have the numbers, but every time I look up, he's averaging, what, 25, 30 points? I think he had to have averaged 25, 30 points since coming off the bench. I don't have the numbers. I'll have the numbers for you next season. next show. But he come off the bench averaging 25, 30 a game. Like, he come off the bench first quarter, instantly 10, 15 points. And this has been a trend. But in the second half, he'll slow down and the team will slow down and we lose. That's exactly what happened against Utah. Keontae George went out for Utah because he's been sick. So I guess he couldn't finish the game. So, yeah. So we kind of took advantage of that because Jordan Clarkson wasn't really doing anything at first. And it was basically the Colin Sexton show in that first half against the Jazz. Jazz got some good young talent, but I knew they weren't that much better than us. So I was like, we can get this game. I was watching the game. We were up 15. Jordan Poole was on fire. And, you know, we were hitting our shots. He was playing decent defense. And then, of course, I go to sleep and I wake up and we lose by double digits. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding. What about the Magic game? Well, I think there was a game before the Magic game, but the Magic game, up by 21 in the first half. I was like, oh, we really got him now. This is another Jordan Poole masterpiece. He's going off. And then second half, he slowed down. And, you know, we lose. We lose by 10 after being up 21.
What?
Like, you got to be kidding me, man. Frustration all around. I think we got Charlotte tonight. I'm recording this on Friday. We got Charlotte tonight. Good chance to win, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we win this game. Feel like we should, but we'll see. Denny has been all right. Well, Kuzma's been doing his thing all season. Marvin Bagley's hurt now, and I'm sick about that. Rashawn Holmes is a decent backup. I guess it was a good trade, I guess. But no, I still would rather have Gafford. But Rashawn Holmes has been all right, especially as Bagley has been out. I love to see the development of Koulibaly and Jordan Davis, and sometimes we get to see my man from Baylor, Jared Butler. Yeah, sometimes we get to see him. And Kispert plays decent minutes these days. But, you know, we're back to the Kuzma and Poole show, but it just don't result in wins. 16 straight. We are that team now. Kuzma said, don't be that team. We are that team now.
Game over.
Now, NBA fans are wondering if we're going to beat the Pistons record of, I think it was 27 straight games, 27 straight losses, or we're going to beat their record. I don't think so. I still think they're going to get more than 15 wins, but they have tied the 2009-2010 Wizards for the longest losing streak in franchise history. I told y'all, I was like, I haven't seen a team this bad since the end of the arenas, beginning of John Wall era. I can't believe we're back to that era in 15 years, just like that. I don't see a player of John Wall's caliber coming out of the draft. I just don't. At least not this season. It was last season we should have got that person. Getting Bilal Coulibaly is cool, but no Brandon Miller, no Scoot Henderson, no Victor Wembanyama. That's who we needed. We needed one of those three. But we got Koulibaly. He's going to be a good player. I don't see superstar. But he's going to be on our team for a while. He's going to be a key role player, but that's the thing, role player. But he might be an important role player for the turnaround, for the resurgence, because I think that Denny Avia and Bilal Koulibaly is going to be here for a while. Maybe even Kispert. They're going to be here. I don't know about Poole and Kuzma, but if Poole keep playing like this, oh, we'll be able to trade him easily in the offseason. Because I don't think they're going to keep paying him this type of money. There's no way. But, man, being a Wizards fan lately has been a complete crap.
It's a complete crap.
Yeah, I can't get a I'm going to let that blooper go. But anyway, I can't get away. And I will probably watch in the future. I will probably go to another game soon, even though I'm going to the ACC tournament, at least like one of the early rounds, because the tickets are laughably cheap. So if you want to go watch some college basketball, it's cheaper than the early rounds of the ACC tournament. It's cheaper than all of the rounds of the CAA tournament.
What?
It doesn't seem real to me, because I wanted to go to the CAA tournament because it's down the street. It's literally on the same street I pretty much live on, I think. It's off of the same street I live on, pretty much. So it's down the street. It's like it's like 10 minutes away. Of course I want to go see that. But the ticket prices are like double the ACC, at least for the early rounds. Now, when you get to the later rounds, that's when, you know, the Duke fans and the Carolina fans drive up the price. So obviously, just like when the Big Ten was here, like, that's when all the, you know, the Michigan State, even though I got to see Michigan State when they were here for the Big Ten tournament. I'm pretty sure I did. But them fans of teams with higher seeds, they drive up the prices. And that's exactly what's the ACC. Once you get to, like, the semifinals, the finals, even some of the quarterfinal games are ridiculous, because that's when you get the Dukes and the North Carolinas. The who else is on top of that damn conference? All the people, but basically them. That's when they drive up the prices and they start getting ridiculous. That's when they cause way more money in the CAA. But I think the rationale for the ACC tournament costing more than the CAA tournament causing more than the ACC tournament early on is that the CAA tournament playing that smaller arena in Congress Heights, and the ACC is playing in the big arena downtown at Capital One. And I guess there's not enough demand to see those guys play. I haven't even seen the bracket yet. I don't even know what it's going to look like. I don't even know what teams I'm watching on Wednesday. The tournament starts Tuesday. And the first 2 days of the tournament, dirt cheap. But I think it's a steal that I get to watch someone in the play-in versus a fifth seed on Wednesday afternoon. It's a steal. I'll take it. I'll take it. It's cheaper than a Chipotle bowl. How could I not go see it? Anyway, Wizards are trash. I hope they beat Charlotte tonight. March Madness is heating up, so I'll probably be watching more college basketball anyway. But, you know, I can't keep my eyes off, especially since I'm playing daily fantasy. I'm definitely keeping up with the Wizards, but, man, it's depressing, man. It's depressing. Man, what's the next topic, man? Because these guys getting on my nerves. Caitlin Clark. So she broke Kelsey Plum's record. And her breaking Kelsey Plum record just put me down a rabbit hole of looking up all these people she passed. Like, well, not all these people, but I didn't know anything about Jackie Styles. She had the record before Kelsey Plum. And I saw, like, a short documentary on her. And I'm like, what the heck? How do we not hear about her? And how did I not know she coached under Sherry Cole? She's friends with Sherry Cole? Really? And I didn't know that? What the heck? Anyway, she was a prolific scorer. We didn't hear enough about her. It's injuries. Injuries ruin a lot of careers. And Jackie Stiles was unbelievable in high school and college. I already know about Kelsey Plum. Like, I watched that real time. Her break the record and her be amazing at Washington. And then, of course, you see what she's doing in WNBA. Took her a minute, but she cooking now. Then, like, okay, after she broke this record, something happened. Like, it's mixed emotions. Some people are really happy for her and see her as an icon and a legend and just pretty much the GOAT. There are other people that are just tired of hearing about her and think she's overrated. And this is when people brought out of the woodwork Lynette Woodard, Pearl Moore, who had more points than Caitlin Clark. Well, now Caitlin Clark has more points than Lynette Woodard. I had no idea who Lynette Woodard was until Caitlin Clark broke that record. Why is that? Like, they just brought her out of the blue just to prove their point that Caitlin Clark's overrated, which she isn't. That's sad, man. We should have been knew about Lynette Woodard. People who are passionate about women's basketball and women's basketball historians, y'all did a bad job of hyping up Lynette Woodard. Is it because she coached a mid-major team? Is that why? She had a great career at Kansas. Of course, Kansas. Of course. Kansas basketball, full of history. Even the women's side. You had the best scorer, arguably the best scorer in college basketball history. I think why she didn't get recognized, because she didn't break, it wasn't NCAA. Like, it was AIAW or something. It was the very, very early stages of women's basketball. But she's still alive and well, and we took till now to give her flowers? Lynette Woodard seems amazing. Why didn't we know about her 10, 20 years ago? Why didn't she get this hype 5, 10 years ago? Why didn't she get this hype 20 years ago? Like, what are we doing? Pearl Moore? Pearl Moore still has more points than Caitlin Clark. Why didn't we know about her till after Caitlin Clark broke Kelsey Plum's record? Come on, man. This is expert level hating. This is crazy, man. Y'all ain't got hate. I know y'all tired of hearing about her and you think she might get humbled in the WNBA, or you don't think she's better than, I was going to say Angel Reese. But come on, man. Y'all got to stop. I'm not taking anything away from Pearl Moore and Lynette Woodard. And even Pistol Pete has entered this conversation. Now we're debating, you know, Pistol Pete and Caitlin Clark. And I'm like, come on, bro. Pistol Pete's status as a basketball legend is cemented. Now we got people disrespecting both. We got people saying that Pete Maravich played at a time where, because he had the NCAA record for points. He has men and women. He had the most points. Now Caitlin Clark broke his record. So I'm like, but people saying on one side, Caitlin Clark did it with a 3-point line and she shoots mostly threes. So her record isn't that big of a deal. But on the other side, you got people saying Pete Maravich got his record because his coach was his father and he shot 40 times a game and he played in a partially segregated NCAA. It's all these excuses, bro. Like, both of these people are amazing basketball players. Like, where's the love for everyone here? And why didn't we find out about Lynette Woodard and Pearl Moore until Caitlin Clark broke that record? I'm still kind of bothered by that. And Lynette Woodard, she appeared in the Kansas locker room before the Kansas State game and hyped them up, and they got a big win. And then, unfortunately, that same Kansas team beat my Sooners the next weekend.
Come on, man.
Like, it's just, ugh. I don't know what she said to them, but they've been hooping lately. But, man, come on, man. Congrats to Caitlin Clark. Let's give her flowers while she's doing this. Let's enjoy greatness while it's happening, because it's something special. And I'm very excited to see her in the WNBA. She declared, and thank God, because I didn't want to see her in college basketball anymore. I've been done seeing her in college basketball for over a year now. Same thing with Angel Reese. Like, I want to see something new. I want to see them against the best. I want to see them against other legends. I know Diana Taurasi is on her way out the door. I know Della Don is taking a year off. But get to see her against Asia Wilson. I get to see her against someone like on our team, on the Mystics. I get to see her against Brittany Sykes. She a dog. I get to see her against freaking Natasha Cloud, even though she ain't on our team no more. Like, these people are dogs. Like, Jewel Lloyd, Skylar Diggins-Smith. Like, I get to see her against all these really good players that were really good in college and then do well in the pros. Finally, man. God, I hope some of these girls follow. I hope they follow her lead and join the WNBA. I'm trying to see them on the highest level. I mean, sure, they can collect NIL money and be with their teammates and mature a little bit more as basketball players. Yeah, it's fine. No, I'm trying to see them in the W. And I'm trying to see one of these girls on the Mystics. I'll never give that up. You know, I love my Mystics, and I want to see them do good. And I think one of these young players can make the difference. But congrats to Caitlin Clark. I don't know if she's going to break Pearl Moore's record. I don't even know how many points Pearl Moore scored. But obviously, I think it's maybe Caitlin Clark passed her record. But basically, Caitlin Clark got the most points of men and women in NCAA. And she broke Lynette Woodard's record. I think Pearl Moore is the last. I got to look it up. But even with Pearl Moore, there's debate about that, because Pearl Moore didn't play Division I. But then again, the divisions were close. From what I heard, the divisions were close, and D2 teams played some D1 teams. It was very early stages of women basketball. So, yeah. So they're not going to get the credit that they deserve. But congrats to Caitlin Clark, and I can't wait to see her in a draft. I wish she was going to the Mystics. She's obviously going to the Fever. And of course, the hype is already building, and it's just a layup for the Fever to take advantage of it. And they have, I mean, you can't mess this up. It's given to you on a silver platter for you to basically 10X your brand with this player coming in. Like, come on, this is easy. Like, if you mess this up, you got to be fired, because it can't be any easier than this. It's going to be lit, boy. Okay. Speaking of Sooner women's basketball, I mentioned them losing to Kansas, but they did win the Big 12 regular season. They beat Texas again. I love it. Beat Texas twice, although Texas beat Southern by 50 and we lost to Southern. It's insane. But it's insane how that triangle works. But we beat Texas twice. Beat Oklahoma State twice. I'm so proud of this team, man. I really am. And we got a great coach. I can't believe they found this woman. She has done a great job. It's just now we got to get past the second round. And the committee or the bracketology people finally showed us some love. I knew once they beat Texas, because they love Texas. Because the week before we beat Texas, they made them a number one seed in bracketology. I was like, they're not that good. I mean, they good, but they're not that good. I know they beat UConn, and that was big. I'm like, y'all like them a little bit too much now. Y'all getting ridiculous. Beat them. Texas is still you know, they still dropped the number two. They're still up there. But the Sooners went from a potential 6 or 7 seed to now they're number 4 to they're possibly hosting. Now, if they win the Big 12 tournament, they're for sure going to be a top 4 seed. They might even be a number 3. But they have to win the tournament. They have to. Because if they don't, I could easily see them being a 5th or 6th. And that can make a big difference. Because if we got to go to somebody's place and play in the first or in the second round, I assume, or even the first round, that the way women's basketball is these days, even the first round ain't guaranteed. It'd be easier to be hosting and get an easier matchup in the first or second round than to go on the road and be in a situation like last year where we got to play UCLA and we lose. So, because half of it is because we're their place. I mean, I just love what they're doing. I don't understand the loss to Kansas. I don't understand the loss to West Virginia, but whatever. They're doing a great job. I'm proud of them. Big 12 regular season champs back to back. Now we just gotta hold on, man. Just gotta take it to the next level. Win the Big 12 title and at least get to the Sweet 16. That's all I ask. You know, I think they can do it, you know. They got a good team. They got a great coach. So, let's see. Oh, the men's basketball team, I mean, just very up and down. It's been a roller coaster. Lost to Kansas. I mean, I think I talked about that last show. I mean, it just is what it is. Kansas is the better team, even though Kansas themselves have lost a bunch of games. And they look like a beatable team. But, listen, lost to Houston, could have easily won that game, just like the Wizards, can't grab a rebound at the right time. I mean, Jamal Shedd throws up some nonsense. You let your man Roberts get the rebound, tap it back to him, and shoot again, and pretty much walk off with the victory? Come on, man. That was the number one team in the country. That would have cemented our resume. Y'all didn't want to be great. The Cincinnati game, I'll give them credit for this because this is great. No Javion McCollum. He's our guy. He hit the shot against Oklahoma State. He's not playing in the Cincinnati game. We're struggling to score. We get down double digits early, and I got to have a game versus Cincinnati. We battle all the way back because this guy, number 0, just hits. I don't know his name, but I'll learn his name soon, I promise. But he hit shot after shot, clutch shot after shot, and he did it again. And, you know, and we held on against Cincinnati. We held on. I think we went to overtime. We went to overtime, and we held on, and that was a much-needed win. And now we got Sooner fans thinking we're going to make tournament now. Oh, and we lost to Iowa State at Iowa State. But they're the second best team in the Big 12. I mean, what can you do? I was afraid of going to that place all along. And my fears were realized when we lost and didn't score that many points. I mean, just is what it is. Think we play Texas again soon. I would love to beat them, even in Austin. But we'll see. It's Big 12 tournament time, man. It's a very competitive league. We could easily lose in the first round. But we'll see. We'll see. Very inconsistent team. Hope we get Javion back. We lost Hughley. We got Soares. Soares pretty good. That number 14 guy is good. Godwin is he's up and down. He's up and down, but I love him. Who else on that team is really good? I love the energy of Moore, number 14. And Owe has been, I think he's the OG on the team right now. He's a solid player. And of course, you know, we got another, you know, really good coach on that side, Porter Moser. So it's like, team is inconsistent, but I can see them being a tournament team. I don't see why they wouldn't make the tournament. You play in a tough league. I don't know. The USC win in non-conference don't seem that great anymore. The Florida win was, I guess, good. But did we lose to Florida? I know we lost to North Carolina. That was another missed opportunity. Houston lost. That was a big missed opportunity. I can see this being a tournament team. So I don't understand all the doom and gloom and we're going to be in the NIT, man. This team will make the tournament. This is a tournament team. This team is better than last year. We will make the tournament. And hopefully we get enough people healthy to possibly make a run. We got the guard play. We got the guard play to make a run. Javion McCollum is him. And I can see us, you know, making a run in the tournament. They can't. But then again, this team is so inconsistent, they could get blown out in the first round of the tournament too. Or not even make it out of the, you know, the play-in. You know, the play-in tournament or the play-in round in Dayton could easily be an 11th seed in that. That's how inconsistent these guys are. But we'll see. But, you know, both teams, obviously the women are a tournament team. They cemented that by beating Texas twice. They're obviously a tournament team. It's just, are they going to have a top four seed? The men, I don't know. The men going to make it. Their tournament fate is murkier, but they're going to make it. They'll be fine. So Sooner basketball, man, it's interesting. It's a roller coaster, especially on the men's side. But at the end of the day, the way things have been going, we'll probably just throw all our attention on the women because they're probably going to make it farther. They're the better team. They have won more games. So, you know, I can't wait to see how it goes, for real. Now, Sooner softball. That's the sound of a 71-game winning streak up in smokes. Bruh, I can't believe it. It's over. Now, come on. You got to be reasonable. It was going to end eventually. The fact that they got it to 71 in a row after losing to Baylor last year is miraculous. It's awesome. And after they lost the game, all of their IG captions and stuff, and you know, the IG story went viral. Someone's IG story went viral of, I think it was Kirsten Dill, that got baptized. And that was a big thing in their locker room because these women are model Christians. As young as they are, you know what I'm saying? They're young college students, model Christians, always, you know, showing their faith, always putting their faith on display. And that's probably why they've been doing so good, because, you know, they have the faith and they're so spiritually grounded. You know what I'm saying? That's probably why they succeed so much. That's why this course succeeds. It's just unreal, man. Before I get to the streak and what happened with that, it's just these women don't seem real. You know, they don't seem real, you know. They win all these games. They're competitive. They're great people. They look good. They don't seem real, bro. I was like, these women don't seem real. They're model Christians. They're unbelievable women with an unbelievable coach. I just can't believe just how amazing they are. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're humans. They're going to make mistakes. And that's basically what happened. Like, it's just, there's probably a reason why, that's probably the reason why Kenzie Hansen, when I was talking to her in D.C., that's probably why she say, try not to think about, you know, winning four titles in a row. Just keep the main thing about, you know, putting in the work, getting better, and I guess their walk with God. Okay, I can see why, because it's just a lot to think about and pressures and stuff, and it's just, it just brings on unnecessary stress. But man, I'm still disappointed in how it ended. I knew something was wrong when the opening game of Love's Field, our new stadium, ends up us being down 3-0, and the first person to hit a home run in Love's Field is a visitor.
What?
Down 3-0 before we could even blink. Now, credit to Miami, Ohio. They're much better than I thought. I think they've only lost like 4 games. They lead the country in home run by a mile like we used to. They hit 3 home runs a game, and they've hit the most home runs by like double digits. They're really good, and which is why I really want to see them play in the MAC tournament in Akron. Hopefully I can make that trip happen. It's second week of May. Hopefully I can make it happen. We'll see. Odds are I probably won't be able to go, but I'm going to plan to go because I want to see this. I got to see if they win the MAC tournament with all this power they got in their lineup. But nevertheless, we overcome that. We matched them. Was that the game where we went up 3? Yeah, it was the game where we went up 3. We went up 7-4, and we let them hit 3 home runs. We let them hit 2 home runs and come back, and we go to extras. And, of course, my baby, Kenzie Hansen, she does her thing. Clutch. But, of course, the game against ULL, okay, we run rule ULL, light work. It's one of them games where an OU softball has had plenty of these games the last 5-6 years, especially the last 3, where they get up on a team 5-0 in the first inning or 8-0 in 2-3 innings. It was one of those games. It was easy. That second game, once again, got down 3-0, battled back, and then we let it get to extras. It's just a lot of mistakes. Kenzie dropped the ball on the tag. Outfielders fumbling the ball, bad throws. It was an inning in extras where no one could catch the ball. It's just a lot of mistakes. We had at least 4 errors. And I'm just like, man, what? They're human. But, you know, order is restored. Punished Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, or Commerce. I don't know what team we just played. Dominated them. 8-0 after 5. Like, it's just too easy. So we start another streak. But I think what I learned from this is, one, these women are human. They're going to make mistakes. It's not always going to be up to their standards. There's going to be days like that. And two, is things more important than softball? Like life and, you know, being Christian. There you go. Those are 2 things I learned, you know? And, you know, hopefully they improve on things. And I'm glad this stuff is happening in the middle of the season so they can play their best ball at the end of the season and they can legit win this 4th title. Is this team as good as the previous 3 teams? No. I think it's just they got a bunch of young players as supporting cast, and, you know, they're up and down. They got a lot of depth in pitching, but they don't have that, like, ace. Like, they don't have that Paige Parker, you know. They don't have that Paige Parker. They don't have that Paige Lowry. They don't have that Jordy Ball. They don't have that type of player. G. Juarez, I was trying to – Kalani Ricketts. They don't have that type of player. They just got a lot of depth. And that's great. Especially, God forbid, something happens to any of them injury-wise. But, man, it's just, it's not good for when you got to, like, dominate and win title. But they'll be fine. This is a really good team. and they're still probably the favorites to win it all. One last thing. So Texas is the new number one on two polls. That's another thing I learned about this whole fiasco. There are four polls in college softball. I think there's USA Today, ESPN, D1. I think NCAA has a poll, and Softball America. I think that those are the four. On two of the polls, OU is number one. On two of the polls, Texas is number one. And OU fans are in a frenzy because they don't think we deserve to be number two because we still had a long winning streak and we only slipped up that one game. But, I mean, we've had a few close games. We got away with beating Washington. We barely beat Miami, Ohio, who Miami, Ohio beat UL. Oh, and by the way, that Louisiana Lafayette team that beat us, they got a losing record. That's bad. Both of those teams that gave us trouble at home, oh, and we destroyed Liberty. They were in that little Love's Field opening tournament too, and we just made quick work of them. But the two teams that gave us trouble weren't ranked. That's bad. But, you know, Texas number one, don't Texas got two losses, right? They lost to Stanford for sure. They might have lost one other team, but lost Stanford for sure. LSU's undefeated. Watch them. But they haven't – they're not in SEC play yet. So we'll see how long they last. Stanford has some big wins. Georgia has some big wins. No. Stanford and Cal has some big wins. So you got to watch them. But I still think Sooners deserve to be number one. They're still the best team. Yeah, they had a shaky weekend of softball, but they still deserve to be number one. And it just fires our fan base up, and maybe them. I don't know how much they care about Texas being number one, but I'm telling you, it's coming. Texas, OU, I'm going to hype it up every show until we get there. OU, Texas, softball, possibly 1-2, beginning of April. I can't wait. It's going to be lit. I don't think OU is playing anyone worth mentioning until that game. So they're going to be number one or number two. So I can't wait. It's going to be lit. It's going to be an amazing series. I can't wait to preview that series. I'm going to try my best to do that. I can't wait. But yeah, man, 71-game winning streak is over. It is what it is. But this team will be fine. You know, they've battled adversity before. It doesn't seem like they have, but they've battled adversity before. And time after time, this core group of women, I mean, I'm talking about Patty and Tierra Jennings and Jada and Kenzie. They battle adversity. They come back strong. Nicole May, like, they come back from the little adversity they go through and they win games. And they win championships. Championships and Jesus. That's all they're on. That's all they're about. And you got to respect it. Now, okay, here we go. Mike Jones. So Mike Jones, I met Mike Jones when I was in sixth grade. He came to talk to my class. He came to talk to the boys in my class because he was the head coach at the Matha, or maybe an assistant coach. But nevertheless, he came to talk to the guys in our class about going to the Matha. He came to our class multiple times, especially in sixth grade. Did that in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. I didn't end up going to the Matha for many reasons. I mean, for multiple reasons. I think the number one reason was I was uneasy about going to an all-boys school. But if I told my parents I wanted to go to the Matha, they might could have made that happen. My cousin that also went to OU told me I should go to the Matha, but I didn't apply. Anyway, Mike Jones was the coach of the Matha pretty much my whole time at McNamara. And did they win a title? They might have. I lost track of who won titles, but they were obviously really good. And they had that 09 team that had like 71 players. I think the whole team went D1. And notable players on that team, Quinn Cook and the Grant brothers, Jerrion and Jeremy. So they were on that team. So, of course, Mike Jones is a DMV basketball legend. For whatever reason, he leaves DeMatha. And he probably just wanted a new challenge. I get it. And he's coaching at Virginia Tech. I'm like, what the hell? Then he ends up at Maryland as an assistant coach. I'm like, he must be there to recruit DMV players. Now, I find out he's an Old Dominion grad, and now he's the head coach at Old Dominion. Okay. I love it. I love it. Obviously, he is a big name in DMV basketball. So I definitely can trust that he's going to get some good recruits in there for Old Dominion, a mid-major school in Virginia. I think it's down there with, you know, I think it's in the Tidewater area with Newport News and Virginia Beach and Norfolk and all that. I think it's down there. So I think, you know, he's going to do a great job. Props to him. I saw him at the WCAC tournament. Watching my McNamara Mustangs play O'Connell, we lost. But I'm sure he was there watching Caden. I think Caden Samuels, who played for McNamara, who is like a five-star already as a sophomore. Merlin's on his list, and I can see him going to Merlin. But Mike Jones just left, so I don't know. Don't be surprised he turn around and go to Old Dominion. Just you heard it here first. Doing some critical thinking. Don't be surprised if Caden Samuel goes to Old Dominion in 2 years. You heard it here first. I'm just saying. Anyway. Or maybe just speculating things. But, you know, we'll see. But congrats to Mike Jones. I want to see how that goes. And I would love to see Old Dominion be the next big, like, Cinderella. And I want to see how long he stays there. Does he stay there for a while? Does he end up leaving in a few years to take a higher paying job? Or does he go back to high school? Like, these are things I want to see develop. These are things I want to see, you know, how things play out. But, yeah, congrats to Mike Jones, DMV basketball, I guess legend. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. Okay, Slay Nelson and Eagles fans. So on a podcast, Darius Slay, and I think his name Jonathan Nelson, right? He was with the Steelers, then he's with us. It was some cornerback podcast. Listen, there's a lot of player content, a lot of basketball and football players making podcasts, and they're pretty good. I can't get enough of them. But this was yet another one. And, you know, Darius Slay and Jonathan Nelson complain about Eagles fans booing when the team doesn't play well and being disrespectful when the team doesn't play well. It's just Eagles fans didn't like it because Eagles fans, we don't like when you call us out for being terrible fans. We don't like you disrespecting our fan base. When we just want the team to win. And it's just Philly. I'm not from Philly, but I'm an Eagles fan. Like, Eagles fans take pride in their team. They want you to play hard. Obviously want you to win games. You don't want to hear no excuses. I mean, it's just what Kelsey said in his speech. Kelsey gets it. That's why he is a Philadelphia legend. Also, he won a Super Bowl. So that's why he's a legend, because he gets it. You know, the players that complain about booing and the fan behavior when they don't play well, it's not going to be a good look to the fan base. It shows them that you're soft and you don't really care as much as they do. I mean, they're NFL players. They want to win. They're competitive. Like, but that's the message it sends to the fan base. And it's not good. Now, I still believe in Darius Slay. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he can give us one or two good years. But, yeah, the Eagles fans not trying to hear all that. They're not trying to hear you complain about them booing. About them booing you when you don't play well. I know not everyone's going to take that well. Because you want support from your fans when you're struggling. And when you're doing well. You know what I'm saying? But Philly just ain't one of them places, man. You're not playing well. When you're not doing what you're supposed to do, they're going to be on you about it. They're going to let you know about it. They're that brutally honest, and they are that passionate about the team. And, you know, I love following my Eagles fans on Twitter. They're amazing. And they definitely give you a snapshot of what Eagles fans are like. But, you know, they're also fun. If you go to the games, Eagles fans are so entertaining. I love them. I know I'm a little biased because I'm an Eagles fan too, but you got to go to the games, man. It's good times. I would love to go back to an Eagles game, but I just haven't had the money. And when I actually had tickets, I got sick. So, yeah, man, complaining about the fans is never going to go well, especially in Philly. Just boss up and get this money. Like, what's the name said? Like Blade Icewood said. Shout out to people in Detroit. But seriously, even Graham would tell you that. Brandon Graham, who's from Detroit, would tell you to boss up and get this money. That's what all the Philly fans want you to do. Like, come on, man. We got to get it together. Oh, also, I can't believe I didn't put this in the rundown, but Jason Kelce retired, and I want to listen to the whole speech, but I've heard, like, parts of it where he talked about the Eagles fans, where he talked about the Philly special, where he cried at the beginning, and I've listened to the podcast with Travis Kelce, and it's amazing. You know, he's just a great guy and a great family man, and we're going to miss him. I didn't want him to retire. I wanted him to stay because he's an all-pro caliber center. He's a leader on the offensive line, and he's part of the reason why the tush push works. So I'm going to miss him. But the show, what's going on? We knew it was going to happen either this year or next year. So now we've getting it out the way. Going to miss him, but he's going to be in the media. He might be on Fox Sports or ESPN. Look out for that. And he got this awesome podcast with his brother. So now he's just a straight-up celebrity now. And now his brother's dating Taylor Swift. I talked about that a lot. And now he's his own personality. And just the Kelce family is just full of rock stars now. So you won't hear the last of Jason Kelce. Of course, I got to go back and listen to his Eagles parade speech when he was wearing the genie costume. I kind of want to wear that costume just for the giggles, man. Just to see how I feel. I might wear that costume on Halloween. Be on the lookout for that. I might just go to a party with it and just be one and done. But that outfit looked like a lot of pieces and a lot of work. So I don't know. But it's funny as hell. I'm not. Man, that's one of my favorite memories of Jason Kelce. Is him doing that speech. Voice loss. And everything. Because I went to the parade, but I was so beat up because my feet were tired. I'd been standing for hours and I've been cramped. There's just people everywhere. I can't move. So, of course, I went home. I got my cheesesteak and went home because I was tired. So, of course, I didn't stay for the speech, but I did see it and it was epic. We're going to miss Jason Kelce. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I cannot wait. Now, the final thing is, you know, I just stumbled upon, I think one of the GMs was doing an interview in the booth during the combine. And I saw this random name, Jaquan Jackson. I was like, who the hell is Jaquan Jackson? And why is he on my timeline? I mean, not on my timeline, but why is he just randomly popping up on the screen during this interview? And I'm just like, okay, let me look him up. So he's 5'9", like 180 pounds. He's a slot receiver from Tulane. So I guess he played against OU when we had trouble with them and they had to make our field their home field. Tulane has some good teams. But he's a slot receiver from Tulane. So he runs a 4.42. Okay, that's for a receiver, that's just okay. For an NFL receiver. So I guess his strengths is he make tough catches. He make tough catches. I guess what they said, because I was looking at draft breakdown, one of these draft breakdown websites. And obviously he's kind of small, but he has long arms, so he can make tough catches. But what they were saying was he doesn't get enough separation on his routes. That's not good. You're a slot receiver. Like, that's the best slot receivers, that's what they do. They get separation on their routes, like the Wes Welker and the Edelmans and stuff. I guess the speed isn't really that great. And it's just, I think he'll be fine, though. Like, that site got him rated as an 80 and a 6th-round pick. But see, just still be on the lookout for him. He may be a 6th-round pick. He may be kind of small. But some of the things he struggled with, like, they say he's not the best route runner and his hands are inconsistent. But he can make tough catches, and he can be a deep threat, too. Okay. Okay. I mean, I would love to have him on the bird, because when have we had a slot receiver like that? Well, the slot receivers we had, like Alamide Zaccheaus and, like, the dude from the Colts, I mean, they were just okay. Well, wouldn't mind having something like that. I wish he was a little bit faster, but obviously he got a little bit of quickness to him. That's just what the scouts were saying. That's what that one page was saying, but that's just one page. They basically have him as an 80 grade. They have him as a C grade. They have him as a 6th-round pick. I hope he does well just because I randomly stumbled upon him and he played on them pretty good Tulane teams who had pretty good offenses. So, I mean, he had, like, back-to-back 400-yard seasons. I mean, nothing spectacular. But there is some potential in the NFL. Like, if he grind hard enough, I could definitely see him make it on the roster. I can definitely see him make it in on the Eagles. So, we'll see. I want to see what happens. I'm going to try to follow him and see if he does anything in the NFL and where he gets drafted. But, yeah, that was just a random name. I guess the name stood out to me. So I was like, let me see what this guy all about. Not bad. Not bad. All right, man. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. It's Mr. Van Pugh. And you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.